the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
8.5 remaining. They are up by two on an empty net goal, and the Huskies are going crazy on the Michigan Tech bench right now. Bringing it front out, and it's scored! Right in between the hash marks. Huskies win it back. Misiak in front. Here's a score!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turbo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, well, thank you very much, Josh, and we do appreciate everybody tuning in today. This is the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Head coach Joe Schott not able to make the show here today, so we'll have some special guests with you, including assistant coach Dan Stewart, all locked in and ready to go with us to talk about Michigan Tech hockey. And a very unusual Joe Schott Hour in that not only will we have some special guests, but it's on a Monday in between games, and that I don't think has ever happened in between games like this. So this is really cool. The Huskies with a big win last night over Minnesota State. The Mavericks ranked sixth in the nation. They certainly showed why they were ranked sixth in the nation in the second half of that game. They took it to the Huskies, but the Huskies able to hang on. They just remarkable goaltending performance by Blake Pietila, who had 43 saves on 44 shots in that contest, and it was a very evenly played game up until about the 30-minute mark, and then Minnesota State really kind of took over with the territorial advantage, and the Huskies were able to get some breaks and will have to certainly play better tonight if they're going to try to get the sweep against the very good Minnesota State team. Dallas, we appreciate you being with us here today. And congratulations on the big win. It wasn't easy. We knew it wouldn't be easy, but we got the big W in the first one of the season.
Yeah, we did. We just got that first one out of the way, and obviously a great win for our team and for the freshmen and all the upperclassmen and the whole group, just to kind of put it together and get the first win out of the way on home ice.
You know, it's not easy to beat. For any team to beat Minnesota State, it certainly has been a difficult thing for Michigan Tech over the years. We've only beat them twice in like the last 11 tries going up to that game yesterday. But to hang on and beat a team like that, and I know it's early in the season, it's COVID, and everybody's has a wacky schedule and nothing's been consistent, but to hold on and come away with that win, like you said, the confidence has to be huge.
It's definitely a character builder, and I think you take away even how well they played for the second half of the game. As the ice was definitely tilted after watching the game a second time into this morning, and but the effort was there. Just the growing pains are always going to happen early in the season with new players, new opportunities, new roles, but there was a lot of effort, and certainly the goaltending for Blake Pietila's performance was excellent.
Yeah, and there hasn't been many games throughout the last few years, and we were talking about this last season at some point because I think we had one or two where our goaltender has absolutely had to steal a game and did steal a game. And that certainly was the case last night. I mean, Blake seemed to be, you know, we talk about Dryden McKay, and we hear Coach Hastings talk about him in that he makes the easy or the difficult saves look easy, and I thought Blake did that really well last night.
He really did. He tracked the pucks really well, and certainly the one-timers that he had to face on their power play and on our penalty kill, he made those saves very clean, and there wasn't a lot of second chance opportunities for them to put in a puck on the weak side or tap it in because of that. And then when he made the big saves and a couple backdoor carry plays, he got his toe on it and made the highlight reel save. So really, he did make it look easy just because he was in the zone, as we call it. And certainly, it paid dividends for him, but ultimately for the team. And I think, you know, great kid, great young man, who really cares about others and puts his heart into every practice and detailed and really has been working at his trade all the way from last year as a freshman into this year. With Jamie Phillips, our goalie coach, helping out with that, and Joe, and all the work they've put in with him. He's really, he's all dialed in. It's just a credit to him.
Coach, if you look at the second half of that game, not only did Minnesota State pick up their game and their forecheck was tenacious, they didn't give us time and space. They were forcing us to make errors. They seemed to be, they had faster feet than us. They seemed to be not only winning the one-on-one battles along the wall, but beating us to many of the loose pucks. Did any of that have to do with conditioning? We seemed tired out there at certain times in last night's game in the second half.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit to say to that. I think for sure conditioning needs to be better. I think mentality, as we're developing that in our character, against a good hockey team like Mankato, and knowing their MO is to work and to work outwork their opponents. And we certainly showed that through a certain portion of the game and had battles even late in the game that you had certain guys come out with the puck, but collectively they had five guys, you know, basically with a snarl all the way through to the end. And I think we have to learn from that. I think we also need to grow in our conditioning, just like you had mentioned, and, you know, create situations where if it's a lane to puck situation, we call it, where you're the first man in, you're going to embrace that contact and actually look forward to it and know that you've battle tested, whether it's through practice, conditioning, mindset, all those qualities, and into a 50-50, which is shoulder to shoulder, and then other situations where you're above the puck, where you create those battles. And certainly that's something that we're going to continue to grow as a team. And, for a lot of the young guys, for their first game against Mankato State, they recognize quickly, contact is every situation. It's not once in a while. It's every battle, every puck. And it makes for you have to show up and put on your hard hat, as well as have a game plan beyond grit with skill. And that's what good hockey teams and good coaching staffs like Mankato does. And, we'll do the same and continue to work at that and hopefully get to a point where our growth over the course of this year is in a position, even into tonight, where we can match that.
A couple of players played their first game of the season, and one of them, his first game ever as a Husky. Blaze Richards, saw him in a uniform for the first time, wears number 21 out of for the Huskies. He was listed as the extra skater, the extra forward. You know, a tough situation for a young guy to get put into against his first game against Minnesota State. How did you think he performed in his first opportunity?
I thought he did well. I thought, you know, the one thing with Blaze is he's a worker. He doesn't shy away from contact. His feet are always moving. He's got a great shot, great release. When he gets the puck in a scoring situation, he tends to have a nose for the net. The key is getting to those spots, and I think that certainly playing a team like Mankato should give him some confidence with the minutes that he did get in the role that he did play last night, that he contributed with, you know, pretty much creating a few forecheck situations, a low to high play he made to a defenseman into an attempt, and he really getting his feet wet, as you said, it is definitely eye-opening, knowing the pace and the contact that you're going to have to face in every shift. But he's a great kid, and he earned his opportunity to get in the lineup into last night. And so really proud of his first step, and hopefully he'll get much more growth over the course of this season.
A big kid who was here last year, of course, as a Husky, only played two games. David Risenin playing his first game of the season and, of course, was called on to maybe play a little bit more than he would have had Trenton Bliss not gone out with a checking from behind. But those guys are key, obviously, especially in those situations, to make sure that they just kind of maintain it and do what they have to do to help the team win.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, David's a great young man as well who's all in. And he made some nice little touch plays on breakouts. And he was really in that mindset of trying to be really supportive and, you know, play within his role. And I thought he jumped in and helped the team. And it really, you know, at the end of the day, when you can, everybody's contributing in different ways. You know, we always talk about different players have different roles, and you got to embrace those roles and accept those roles at the time it's given. And then when the bell is ringing, you're ready to go and contribute the best interest for the team. And he certainly made that effort last night. And he's a big guy. He can shoot a puck. He's really good in tight. If he gets a scoring chance in tight around the net, that's with his big lanky arms. And he works really hard. So he definitely helped us last night, contributed to the ultimate goal of coming out with a W last night.
Yeah, in fact, I seem to remember there was a shot from the point where he got a stick on it, and it didn't deflect towards the net, but it was a great opportunity there. And you're right, being that big body in front, he's tough to move off. The other guy that played his first game of the season, Brian Helenin, coming back from injury, and even though maybe he's not, I don't know what his percentage is, but just having Brian back in the lineup with that big body and that tenaciousness that he has seemed to help our team.
It really did. You know, Brian brings a presence in a lot of different ways. He can skate. He can really shoot a puck in multiple ways, from a one-timer to a catch-release or shooting in stride. And he's becoming more and more like a bull on the puck with his frame and his ability to bulldog somebody. He can win that battle with the best of them because of his strength and his will. And the more he becomes that power forward in terms of becoming a pro, like we talk about with certain guys and their styles of play, and try to, you know, compare and contrast to become a pro athlete in their future, he's got to be that guy where he can possess a puck under pressure, like he did one point late in the game in the third period. He just chipped himself, bulldogged with their D. It was him on, it was just one-on-one, and he won the race and he won the war and created the two-on-one situation where he just ripped it. It just rimmed around, but he tagged it, and those kind of situations for Brian, the more he becomes that player as he's showing early here, getting the empty netter, just hopefully I'll give him more and more confidence. He's on the board already and coming back and really just getting more conditioning, getting more in shape with the hockey side of game level competition. It's different than practice where you body in every time and blocking shots. And the more Brian does that, the presence is just felt for everybody in the locker room because he does things other people can't do. The way he shoots a puck is a top scorer, an NHL type shot. He can just do it in multiple ways. And that power forward frame, the more he grows in that, it's going to be hard to stop him.
Dallas Stewart is with us, assistant coach, one of the assistant coaches for the Michigan Tech hockey team after the big win over sixth-ranked Minnesota State last night. They'll play again this afternoon, 4:30 pregame, 5:07 drop of the puck. You can hear it all here on Mix 93 WKMJ. The Huskies ended up getting badly outshot. The shots were really even through the first half of the game, and then things started to go south as far, or maybe you can actually give the credit to Minnesota State and really showed their true colors on how balanced of a team they are and tenacious of a team they are. 44-24 were the shots after the game was over with, but the Huskies come away with a big 3-1 victory. We'll take a look at some of the highlights, or listen to some of the highlights when we get back, and we'll have more here with assistant coach Dallas Stewart. It's the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93. If you have a question for Dallas, email it to us, dj@themix93.com. We'll ask those questions for you coming up in just a little while here on Mix 93 WKMJ.
This is Bob Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. If something were to happen to you today, would your family be left with a financial burden to cover your debts and final expenses? Would they be able to maintain their same lifestyle without you? No matter your age and situation, there is an auto owner's life insurance policy to meet your unique needs, and an auto owner's life policy is likely more affordable than you think. Stop in at the Turvo Agency in Hancock and see how a life insurance policy from auto owners can provide the protection your family needs and deserves. Think life.
Bud Light created a hard seltzer so satisfying, it will have your taste buds going wild. Let's listen in.
Attention everyone, this is your taste bud director. We got an incoming Bud Light seltzer. What are we thinking, taste buds?
Refreshing!
Great.
Now, clean finish!
Yeah, I got that all.
Tastes like mango!
Yes, mango.
One more sip!
Bud Light seltzer. Listen to your taste buds and try it today. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Bud Light seltzer, IRC beer in Texas, St. Louis, Missouri.
You decided to upgrade your outdoor deck, so you ordered the essentials: a power washer, a set of patio chairs, and a shiny new grill. And you use your Bank of America Cash Rewards credit card, choosing to earn 3% cash back on online shopping and up to 5.25% as a preferred rewards member, which you put towards your most essential deck addition: a bird feeder. Apply for yours at bankofamerica.com/more rewarding. Copyright 2020 Bank of America Corporation.
Just close your eyes.
Boo, you already got me an iPhone SE from Cricket.
Okay, open.
A caribou.
It's a reindeer, dear.
In North America, it's called a caribou, Boo.
No way.
Well, I love my new iPhone SE and my new caribou. What's your name?
It's, Carrie, Boo.
Get the iPhone SE for $49.99 when you switch. Smile, you're on Cricket. Ends 1-7-21. Excludes upgrades and AT&T ports. Limit 2 phones per customer. Activation fee $25 per line and additional one-time fees. $4 customer assistance fee may apply, subject to change.
Able to send it down. Give and go with lots of a shot. Shoulder save made there by Kayla. Now Provnik. Right side to the front of the goal. Save rebound. Just went wide of the net. Bantam to the front of the goal. And a save by Kayla. Not out. Pass to the front. Here's a chance. And a, oh, what a save made by Kayla. Another shot. And that was an unbelievable stop by Blake Kiatala. He was down. Left side, Jeremko. Jeremko walking in again. Weak side shot, and another great save made by Kiatala. Dewar driving to the net. Big forward backhander, and stopped there by Kiatala, and holds on for the whistle. Brought inside the Michigan Tech zone. Oh, here's a shot! And I think a save by Kiatala. Somebody got a piece of that one. Back the other way from the Mavericks. In front, here's a chance, a shot! Save made by Kiatala again!
Well, Blake Kiatala, our number one star last night, he had 43 saves on 44 shots, and that's just a small sample size of some of the stops he made in last night's contest. And I have to ask you, Dallas, did you get a good look? I think it was Furry who was on the guy that walked in front of the net and was one-on-one basically with Blake, waited Blake out. Blake went down and made that toe save there that everybody, you know, all 10 of us in the building thought it was going to be going in. Did you have a good look at that live when it happened?
Yeah, I did. And I think there was a down at the far end, right? I think it was
yes.
The one where he lifted his leg pad
and
he waited him out, like you said, and then he got his toe on it. And certainly saw it. I saw it again, obviously, on video multiple times, and I thought that was the save of the game for sure.
Yeah, just incredible. I mean, he made so many, and that was obviously one of the more dramatic ones, but he made a bunch of other ones, as you mentioned, going post to post, anticipating the one-timers on their power plays, and just thought it. He was, certainly a career game early on in his career. But the Huskies got on the board first, and it was in the first period, Logan Gady able to capitalize on a turnover thanks to a good forecheck by his teammate. We'll talk about that in just a second. Here's what gave the Huskies a 1-0 lead.
Ahmed across the line, down to the right wing corner. Huskies forcing them back inside of their zone. Carroll, steal, scores! Stolen on the breakout pass, and the Huskies were able to put it home past goaltender McKay. And we talked about him in the pregame, Logan Gady with the first goal of the game.
So Gainey, who's been playing so well and really has had a good end of the season last year, seems to be kind of picking up where he left off. But that was all started with the forecheck, wasn't it, Coach?
Yeah, it really did. Carson Bantle did a great job creating a pressure point. And we talk about pressure and contain situations and how to make those different reads. And Carson does a great job of hunting pucks and leading with his stick and to where put a lot of pressure on the defenseman there that forced the turnover and where Gainey then put it home. So it's certainly a collective effort, and we've been working really hard on trying to get our forecheck down, not just on entry forechecks, but then ozone play situations to where you're always in a position to create a turnover into an offensive situation or an offensive formation. And Gainey was right in the right spot where he needed to be and was rewarded because of the forecheck as a group, with Carson Bantle's initial pressure, and that turnover created that scoring chance into a goal.
Well, let me ask you this too, Coach. I mean, that goal, you score in the first period, you know what kind of a goaltender you're up against going into this series with Dryden McKay. Most people regard him as one of the, if not the, top goaltender in the nation. And to get that goal in the first period of the first game, when we struggled to score 2 weeks ago, how important do you think that was in carrying the team the rest of the game?
Yeah, I think it was really important, because I think any time in certainly a young season where previous weekend that we played at Lake State a couple weeks earlier, where we didn't put a lot of pucks in the net and obviously had a game where we didn't score any goals, creates positive energy, and it gives for certainly the guy who does score or those who contributed to the goals a positive contribution. So it definitely lifts the team against a team like that, especially to, you know, get on the board first, just gives you a little bit of momentum. And then it's, you know, from there, it's just resetting and then stabilizing that as long as you can through that positive energy and that confidence.
So Trenton Bliss goes out with a checking from behind call at the 17:28 mark. We go into the first intermission with a 1-0 lead. The shots were very even going into the first intermission, 10 for Michigan Tech and Minnesota State with 9. But taking a guy like Trenton Bliss out of the lineup certainly creates a disorder in what your game plan going in, doesn't it?
For sure. You don't plan to lose one of your best, you know, players and one of your best skilled players for that matter. And it changes your power play. It changes your penalty kill because Bliss is used in all situations. And he's a leader of this team. He's one of the captains. And so it certainly changes your approach, but it's always kind of the next guy up mentality, and we just kind of rejostled the lines and worked through it. But it certainly changed our power play where we moved, Logan Pietola kind of switched into that, and we gave a different look, and things worked out well once the combination started to get a few touches with Rocky and Goetze into that goal. And so everybody just kind of filled in, but we practiced guys on the power play, extra guys for the purpose of competition, for an opportunity to play, but also to get guys ready for situations just like this.
Dallas Stewart, one of the assistant coaches for Michigan Tech, filling in today. And yes, you talk about that power play goal. Second power play goal of the season for the Huskies. Second power play goal of the season for Eric Goetz. And here it was to give the Huskies a 2-0 lead in the second period.
Stick work there, bouncing puck at the side, and nicely steered away by the Mavericks to the corner anyway. And the Huskies will hold it in with Rockwell sliding it over. Goetz with a scores! Eric Goetz with a great one-timer! And the Huskies take a 2-0 lead with a power play goal. 13:28 left to go in the second period.
All right, so I've been around the game of hockey my whole life, and one thing that has always bothered me about the game of hockey is the fact that how certain plays do not register points for a player. And I certainly thought, even though he didn't touch the puck, that Logan Pietola deserved an assist on that goal because he was the forechecker to pin the defenseman to force that that bad pass, I guess, or an outlet that ended up being intercepted by Rocky.
Yeah, him and I think Arvid Katerov.
That's right.
As well.
Yes.
And there's a few sequences where there are broken plays and in that power play, and because of that reach and that hunt on the puck, where they forced not a clear 200 feet, that forced the turnover. Certainly, you almost get a type of assist if you could get a phantom assist or something of that nature. It's deserving because without those guys doing those parts of that, the puck would have been cleared down ice. And that's why it was such a collective effort on that power play to even get to that opportunity where Rockwell made the pass to Goetze there on the side for the shot, because there was so much other little intricacies that happened that were effort plays and details to get the puck back. And that, you're really right. There certainly was a lot more to it, but it was a nice sequence. Rocky made a really nice pass. He's good at delivering pucks and got really good hockey sense. And Goetze put it away again for, you know, obviously now a couple games in a row.
So going back to Rocky, who is getting power play time now, talk about how that all developed, Coach, and he certainly looks very comfortable back there.
Yeah, I think, you know, Rocky in the past, I think junior hockey when he played in Wenatchee, he played some power play time there. And I think just in his opportunity this year, had opportunity in practice to work on it and really showed some signs of poise and making a good first pass, but also using some deception plays, and he's good at those kind of things. You know, he does very well in our D zone in terms of breaking out pucks. He's one of the guys that we can count on that has poise to make plays out of breakout situations. So in terms of the power play, putting him in the role he's in, he can do the same, and he certainly supplied that not only on that power play, but a couple others throughout the game where his distribution was really good and he shows deception. He also can get the puck down low and get it on net and make the right read to make teams bite and make the right play to get it to the guy that's open to help generate our sequences to try to score.
Eric Goetz is second of the season, as we mentioned, both of his goals so far on the power play. And Tyler Rockwell gets the only assist on that man advantage goal. That made it 2-0 at the 6:32 mark of the second period. And from there on, or maybe a few minutes after that, it seemed like, boy, Minnesota State really lit a fire and was taking us to us. And I thought, man, if we can get out of this period leading 2-0, that'll make things a lot better for us in the third, obviously. We did, but boy, it was not easy.
No, certainly wasn't. I think they've cranked it up. You know, it's certainly, we made them mad, and they were collectively energized off of that situation, and we didn't answer the same with the same intensity, you know. And it's sometimes in anything in life, if you're in a fight or a boxing match, you're going to take some punches, and you got to prepare for that. If you light the match for the other person, and they're going to spend that little bit more energy, and you got to manage it, but then you also got to put back a fight back. And we got through it that period, like you'd said, you know, and certainly in the third, and that third period, we knew what we were reckoned to have happen, where they would bring it again, and that's the way they play. They're very consistent at what they do, and that's what makes them a very good program and a very good hockey team. And we knew that, and so we knew we had to match that. And certainly they poured it on harder than we needed to, we needed to match that, and we need to do that into tonight. That's certainly going to be part of our game plan, is to be prepared for that and actually bring it on, kind of approach to where you're ready for it, but you also kind of want it, because you got to embrace the hard, as Joe always talks about. You got to embrace it. And when you do that as a person and as a player, you don't just get in there physically, but mentally you're engaged into the strategy side of the game, the skill side of the game, but also the contact side. And when you do all those components within a team concept, it opens the door for you to answer the bell in multiple different ways of scoring and defending. And certainly they brought it in the third period.
They certainly did, and you talk about the third period, and even in that second half of the second period, there were times, Coach, where it seems like they were really kind of pressuring us inside of our zone, and there were some loose pucks bouncing around maybe between the hash marks in front of Pietila and maybe between the hash marks and the top of the circle, where we would get control, or seemingly would get control, and maybe would wait a half second too long, or maybe make a stick handling move when we had guys right on us. Was I seeing that right? Were there times where we were maybe hanging on to the puck a little bit too long in pressure situations in our zone?
Yeah, I think it's kind of managing. It's the combination of poise and feet, and it's knowing your outlets before you even get into that situation, right? So it's studying whether it's a forecheck and running those plays in practice and drilling it, but then also putting yourself in position where, with the forecheck that they have, where their feet are always moving, they don't tend to stand still much, so their routes are going to be energized and always, you know, if one guy's going, there's another guy here, and we do the same thing on our forecheck in many ways. But with that, you always have to premeditate your options, and you have to have your feet moving at the same time in a we call it active movement. You can't just be standing still. It's not football where it's a dead stop into a 3 to 6 second play. It's many times an active movement, timing play into a spark. And in that spark, you've got to have confidence to know the right decision with your teammates on those, you know, concepts that you have within your system, to where you're supporting the puck and supporting each other. And then you have to make a play. I mean, sometimes it's take a hit to make a play. Sometimes it's, you know, eating the puck if it's a wall play, and not just continually jamming it up the wall. Sometimes it's coming back with it. Sometimes it's, you know, a buddy pass or a touch play to a guy that's coming underneath or supporting, so, or coming out a different route. And knowing those things, but then having the confidence within that spark moment that you're going to make that play and have the energy to do it.
So we hang on, and it's a 2-0 score. They pull their netminder, and McKay goes to the bench. They get an extra attacker out there, and they make a great play. They had great pressure by Minnesota State. They get a shot from the point, redirected in, and this made it a one-goal game.
Smith sends it over. 1:23 left to go. The Mavericks will set it up 6-on-5. Hiroshi to the middle. Shot! Scores! Tipped in front by Durant with 1:16 still left to go.
You know, there's so many weapons on that team, and, you know, Hiroshi was out. It seemed like he played the whole game out there. Gerads is out there all the time, but that was a nice play by them. Great tip in front of a really defenseless Blake Pietila on that one.
Yeah, you know, they certainly made the play, and they went three high and made an attempt at the net with a net front screen and into a box-out situation for us. And they basically, you know, got the puck to the net and have numbers like a lot of 6-on-5 situations teams do, and in their game plan, and we didn't get the block, and we didn't get the box out to clear the lane for Blake to see it and avoid a tip. to, you know, hopefully create a pressure situation into a clear in that moment, as we did later in the period, you know, the last minute there, once they took a penalty and we got to go into a 5-on-5 empty net situation, but, and we put it in the empty net, Hallinen did, but, certainly they made a play, and that's the difference in at times in those tight situations. The pressure rises end of periods and, end of games, and that's where we got to continue to grow on, and we practiced it recently, 5-on-6, 6-on-5, so we're prepared, and, it just happened to, put one in behind us, but we found a way after that.
Huskies trying to find a way to get it out. They do. Huskies get it out. 10 seconds left now. Zamolik will bring it up. Huskies poke it away. Set down. Scores! With 4 seconds left. Empty net goal by Brian Hallinen. And the Huskies put it away. 3-1 with 4.1 remaining.
Well, I think that was a big goal. Obviously, there's 4 seconds left. You know, had that gone wide, that would have been an icing call and a face-off inside of our zone. But I think Brian did the right thing. I don't know what the coaches think in a situation like that, but good for him to get on the board with a goal, and obviously that put it away for us.
Yeah, for sure. And I think sometimes in those situations as a coach, you're like, oh, you're 2 feet away from the red line.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you can get over the red and put it in the net, then there's no percentage of the chance to come back on a whistle for a face-off situation, for a face-off play. But he put it in the net, and he was confident. As you watched it, he wasn't half in and ginger about it. He put it in there like he tends to do when he shoots pucks, and he, that guy shoots lots of pucks all day long. He works at that. So even from the red line, we trust Brian's going to put it in, and he did, and it certainly gives the guys a little bit of a deep breath, take a deep breath, because it went in, and we're going to come out with a victory here. But, yeah, certainly those situations, you always think as a coach about what could have happened, but at the end of the day, it went in, and really happy for Brian and the team.
Final shots, Minnesota State with 44. They had 18 in the second, 17 in the third. Huskies had 10 in the second, only 4 shots on goal in the third. But again, the play by Blake Fiedla in goal, the difference in that game last night. The Huskies skated away with a 3-1 victory over the 6th-ranked Minnesota State Mavericks, and will take on Minnesota State again this afternoon. 5:07 drop of the puck, 4:30 pregame here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Assistant Coach Dallas Stewart with us here on the Joe Schaan Hour, filling in this morning, and we'll take a break. Some of your questions will be asked to Coach Stewart right after this. It's the Joe Schaan Hour on Mix 93.
Once upon a time, in a house not far from here, there lived a woman filled with holiday cheer. She was known for being the host with the most, with plenty of Coca-Cola for a holiday toast. This year, she knew there wouldn't be a crowd, but she got an idea, and she said it out loud. If I can't toast them in person, I'll send them a Coke. I'll share some cheer with my favorite folk. But at her doorstep, she was caught off guard. Her friends had sent a gift, including a card. So she reached inside and read the letter. Have a Coke, old friend, because together tastes better.
This holiday season, make sure you take time to say thank you to the people who've been there for you this year. And what better way to do that than sharing an ice-cold Coke? So take a moment to share a Coke with a family member, friend, a nurse, or maybe a neighbor, because sharing things brings us together. And no matter where we are or how we connect, we know together tastes better.
Hey there, Husky fans. This is Sully from the Campus Store. The Michigan Tech Campus Store is located in the Memorial Union Building on the Michigan Tech Campus. And University Images is located in the Student Development Complex at the top of McGinnis Drive. They are your official headquarters for all your favorite Michigan Tech apparel and souvenirs. Plus, you can ship your packages directly from either store for out-of-town friends and family. Stop by the Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, where the public is always welcome. Or shop online at bookstore.mtu.edu for all your Michigan Tech Huskies apparel and souvenirs.
Market declines, oil prices, today's headlines can be scary. Hi, I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson. I'll work with you to help you understand the impact of short-term events and how to be positioned for the long term. We provide the tools for a reasoned, disciplined approach to investing. Don't let headlines derail your long-term financial strategy. Give us a call at 482-8680 for a face-to-face appointment. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Hey, what do you want to da da da?
I don't know. What do y'all think we should da da da?
Well, what did we da yesterday?
Yesterday. All the dolls feel like the same doll these days.
I know.
Like, is today Monday or Tuesday?
Today is Thursday.
Oh, no. I forgot to call my mom on her birthday.
Oh, no.
These days, nothing is normal and everything is weird. But you could still save big when you switch to Progressive. That won't change. Not to da or any da.
Quote to da at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Just close your eyes.
Boo, you already got me an iPhone SE from Cricket.
Okay, open.
A caribou.
It's a reindeer deer.
In North America, it's called a caribou, Boo.
No way.
Well, I love my new iPhone SE and my new caribou. What's your name?
It's, Carrie, Boo.
Get the iPhone SE for $49.99 when you switch. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Ends 1-7-21. Excludes upgrades and AT&T ports. Limit 2 phones per customer. Activation fee $25 per line and additional one-time fees. $4 customer assistance fee may apply, subject to change.
All right, let's put assistant coach Dallin Stewart on the hot seat here with your questions. No, just kidding. All right, so let's see what we got here for you, coach. First question for Coach Stewart. After weeks of team practice as coaches, who do you believe is yet to show an upside in games this year that has not yet been evident so far?
Well, I think the guy that speaks, you know, for a freshman, I think Brett Thorne's been excellent. So for those who are watching online and able to follow, he's just a freshman that's getting a lot of minutes, who makes plays with the puck, plays an honest game, hard worker, good size, and really has a quick stick to make a play. And so he's getting a lot of opportunity, and with his upside, he's going to continue to grow with more and more time. I think as well, obviously Carson Bantles has chances. He had a chance on the first power play last night. He had a breakaway. I mean, he's continually, as a young guy, put himself in a situation to develop and grow and use that big frame of his to create offense and use his stick skill and his work ethic. Once the pucks start going in for him, I think it's going to be really fun for everyone to watch him grow there. And his line mate, Arvid Katerov, at center, he's just really a big guy that's committed and can really make a really good hockey sense. And he's going to grow as well, and just knowing the D-zone coverage and all the details that come with playing in the United States, having played on Olympic ice his whole career, his whole life in Sweden, just developing into a smaller rink where it's quicker and the contact's much higher and the players are at this level are older than junior hockey. He's going to develop and learn the game. He's a great young upside player as well. And certainly Logan Gainey, we got to continue to give him marks because of him producing. You always want to have scoring that's as a team that's hopefully well rounded, to where your guys who are known to score are contributing like a Brian Hallinan did last night, but also the guys that are contributing and growing like Logan Gainey did last year at the end of the year and scored some big goals at Northern Michigan in that playoff series, and hopefully continues that to where you have scoring from your guys who scored a lot in the past are continuing to grow their game, but then guys who are emerging, and then the guys that are freshmen and the guys that have new opportunities continue to grow their game, so that you have well-rounded scoring, you have well-rounded defense, so that everybody's collectively pitching in.
Next question for you, Coach. Now that centers are not being thrown out of faceoffs so much, are you as a coaching staff coaching them to be more aggressive on draws?
Not so much. I think, you know, working with guys in the face-offs, even this last week, just on draws, just developing habits, what to do against a guy that's beating you, what to do in situations where, depending on where the puck's being dropped, how it's being dropped, and coming up with game plans to try to have, you know, a 60% is always the goal, 50 to over 50, but 60%, you know, face-off percentage as a team is always a goal to get to that mark. And hopefully have somebody that takes it to become your best face-off guy, because those are critical moments, end of periods, end of shifts or end of games and end of special team situations. So I think it's more just about, you know, continually training how to go into a face-off circle and knowing who you're going up against, his hand, his style, to try to win that face-off, if not tie it, to create a scrum to where we come out of those scrums with possession.
Next question for you, Coach. When a goaltender steals a game like Pietila did last night, is there a little bit more of a tendency to have more leniency when that goaltender is in the net and maybe has a bad period or lets in a couple of bad goals in a game before they get the hook?
Well, I think anytime you have a goaltender play like Blake did, you're really happy for him and the team because it brings forth confidence. But at the end of the day, I think from a coaching staff perspective, it gives you a chance to know that you can win games like last night, that are tight, that are even, you know, you're getting outplayed and your goaltender makes some big saves. It helps everybody say, hey, we got a group of goalies that can really help us win games when we're not at our best. At the same token, I think from our point of view, I would say it's really important to get the details around the goaltender. We don't want to be in a situation consistently, if ever, to where you're getting outplayed and where you're giving up quality chances. We, you know, as Joe always talks about, scoring chances, you know, is really the easiest statistic to study beyond the goals in the net, and chances for, chances against, when you break those down in your analytics. And those are the easiest ones. If you can cut those chances against down and you have a good goaltender, then it should really deliver where you can really put yourself in a position as a team to where you can bank on submitting teams. And I think that's as when you submit a team, meaning you're hopefully scoring more goals than they are, but you're creating more chances than they are, and you're giving up very little to where it just wears teams down mentally and physically because they just can't get there. So I think when it comes to the goaltender situation, I mean, it definitely brings you confidence that you got a goalie like last night that has the capability to do that and steal some games for you, but and bail you out a little bit. But also, we got to keep growing our game and our one-on-ones, see our compete and our details of systematic play and our compete level to raise it to a team like Mankato's, to where it's consistently conditioned to where we're running ahead of them and rather than chasing.
One more question here for you, Coach Stewart. And this is something we talked with Joe about after the game last night that we noticed. This listener is saying, I noticed Minnesota State's defensemen are very aggressive at holding the offensive zone blue line on the half wall. What is the counter that Michigan Tech defensemen need to do to get outside of the zone?
Yeah, so when they squash down like that, we've got to be prepared to know what they're doing, what their game plans tends to be. You know, with the D's down, then they're going to have somebody coming over the top to cover for that. And way you do that is you got to be prepared as a winger to have a wall battle situation and know your routes off of that situation. If the puck comes to you, what's available with support. And you've got to also determine where you're at as a winger, where that D is, to shoulder check and determine your depth between the hash and the blue line. Sometimes you may have to be a little bit higher. Sometimes you may need to blow the zone, create a bypass situation, and or come out the weak side rather than throwing it up the wall. So there's multiple different techniques as a concept for your teams to manage those situations, and you just got to master it and make those reads as a group and then break out the pucks to where you're not just throwing pucks and turning it over, but also getting a situation where there's a possession situation out of those types of forechecks that the other team is throwing at you.
Thanks for the questions, everybody. Coach, before we let you go, you know, obviously a big win last night for the program to beat such a really good team in Minnesota State by a score of 3-1. As you look at at Coach Hastings' roster, and you know, you go, it doesn't matter what line you're looking at, it doesn't matter what defensive pairing you're looking at, and obviously one of the best goaltenders in the nation. But is there one guy that really stands out for you as far as the way you, because I know you pretty well now, Dallas. We've had the opportunity to room together, and I've been able to pick your brain as far as what you like and what you don't like. And I know there are certain players, certain styles of players that really get you going. And is there one of those guys that stands out for you for Minnesota State?
Well, I thought, you know, if you were to break down their team last night, looking at the scoring chances, and I thought Reggie Lutz really stepped up and really created a lot of one-timer situations with a power play or even five-on-five, just working really hard, just working his tail off. And Reggie's a shooter. I thought he was excellent last night between the grit and the skill side of the game. I thought Napravnik was very good. I think he also, if you were to tally up the shots in terms of the game, those two guys might have led their team in attempts. But just because of their grit and their willingness to pay a price to get to the inside and make a play. So I thought those two guys for them were excellent last night, and we're going to have to key in on them as well. Obviously, Dremko plays with a lot of pace and speed. Nathan Smith is super skilled. They've got a lot, like you said, a lot of different pieces. Lucas Sauter is very smart. So that there's a lot of grit in that lineup, which I really like. Personally, I like grit, skill, and pace. And I think, like every coach, the faster you can play with high grit and skill to make a play with that type of tempo opens doors to do things in a lot of different ways. But I thought those were the two guys up front that last night were key difference makers, between Lutz and Napravnik. But they had a lot of different weapons, and as do we. And I think we just got to continue to grow our team and grow our mentality as a group and really, put it together into a test tonight at 5 o'clock. That'll be a great opportunity for us to answer the bell and really put our heart into it.
Coach, thank you very much. Good luck this afternoon. I love this. We were talking last night on the broadcast. It's like an NHL schedule. Every night there's a Division I hockey game, it seems like. And, you know, it's not ideal, but it's something we're all dealing with. And I kind of like it, especially when you're at home. A lot easier when you're at home to deal with these, you know, Sunday, Monday contests, I'm sure, than it is being on the road. But I like it, and I'm glad it's an early game, and I'm all ready to go, and I'm sure you are too.
Yeah, it's definitely unique times. Like, we're all living through it, but we're all getting through this together. We're putting our hearts into it. We're preparing as if every night's a battle and an opportunity to play hockey, what we love to do and watch. And really, the guys are embracing as well the best we can. You're certainly right. It's unique to see hockey every night at college hockey games at different nights of the week at different times. Some are mid-afternoon games, and, you know, it's seeing the NCHC with their bubble in Omaha and seeing games at 3 in the afternoon and things like that. It's certainly unique, but at the end of the day, we're getting to do what we love. We get to play hockey and watch hockey and be around it and be around people who love the same things we do, and it creates an opportunity to get out of the muck and the mire of what the world has thrown at us and to overcome it.
All right, Coach. Thanks again. We appreciate it, and good luck this afternoon.
Thank you.
Assistant Coach Dallin Stewart for the Michigan Tech hockey team filling in today on the Joe Schaan Hour. We'll have more coming your way right after these.
Bucko's Party Store is celebrating the 12 Eves of Christmas with the 12 packs of Christmas sale. All 12 packs of bottled beer are on sale. All Pepsi 12-pack cans are 2 for $10. All Coke and Pepsi 2 liters are 2 for $3. Stay hydrated with $1 Lipton Brisks and 28-ounce Powerades. If you're looking for a great gift for a stocking stuffer, pick up some Keweenaw alpaca gear sold exclusively at Bucko's. Bucko's also sells snowmobiles and trail stickers. All sales do not include taxes and deposits. At Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. Open 7 days a week.
This is Sarah. Leave a message.
Hey, Sarah, I wanted to catch you before you left. Don't come to our house for the party. There's been a change in plans. We got into some twisted tea, hard iced teas, and one thing led to another. And now we're at the billionaire's house, baby. Yes, the one with the airstrip. Look, the password at the gate is lobster. You gotta get here. Whoa, that's a llama.
Twisted tea. Keep it twisted.
Please drink responsibly.
Money hooray, money hooray, money for the holidays. Oh, what fun it could be with money for the holidays.
Need money for the holidays? Jackson Hewitt could help. Starting December 17th, come in and ask a Jackson Hewitt tax pro how you could get up to $700 fast with an early refund advance 0% APR loan by Metabank. All you need to get started is a pay stub or other proof of income. Learn how at jacksonhewitt.com. Terms apply.
I'm Dr. Andrea Russo, a cardiologist. Maybe you're waiting to talk to your doctor right now. But if you're having an irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness, don't wait. This could be a serious condition like atrial fibrillation, which can make you about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. If you're having these symptoms, don't wait. Talk to a doctor by phone, online, or in person.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Mix 93, Copper Country.
We have a chance for some flurries or patchy freezing drizzle this morning. Otherwise, cloudy skies today. High of 32 and light winds. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low around 25. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high of 40 degrees and southwest winds at 5 to 15, becoming west and increasing to 10 to 20 in the afternoon. This is Mix 93 meteorologist John D.
Stop. You need a new plow for winter, don't you? Then do yourself a favor. Do not buy a plow until you talk to JB Sales and Service. JB's is now an authorized dealer of Snowway. We're talking heavy-duty V-plows and straight blades with down pressure to get the job done right and fast. We're talking true wireless technology. They offer plows for ATV and UTVs, and yes, V-plows for half-ton pickups. Financing available. The Snowway line of plows, spreaders, and more. See them at JB Sales and Service, 5 short miles south of Houghton.
Yeah, I thought the last 28 minutes they dominated. Part maybe some immaturity, maybe some just the fact that Mankato's that good, maybe a lot of conditioning as well. So you know, we certainly weren't crisp the last 28, but I thought in the first 20 we were very good. But I think I stepped in and did a good job. You know, we got a power play goal, which was good. Penalty kill was exceptional, especially during that 5-minute major. So it was very proud of the effort.
Unbelievable performance tonight by Blake Pietola. He was good right from the start here. What can you say from a goaltender, looking at a goaltender, how good he was here tonight?
We've got 3 great games out of our goaltenders so far. So Jamie's doing a great job with them. Our coach is doing a great job with the penalty kill. I think our power play is doing a good job. So I think everybody did their job tonight.
Well, that was Joe Sean after the game last night. And the Huskies take on the Mavericks tonight. 4:30 pregame, 5:07 drop of the puck here on Mix 93 WKMJ. One of my idols in the radio business is with us by phone right now, Mike Sullivan, the longtime play-by-play voice of the Minnesota State Maverick hockey program. Good morning, Sully. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Saw I got a little snow going early on here at Houghton, and believe it or not, back in Mankato this week, it's going to be in the mid-50s, so there's people already getting their tee times ready for golf. You guys have a white Christmas here, but your usual standards aren't measured in inches or mentioned in feet, so it's relatively serene here, I would think, in Houghton right now.
It is, and I know how badly you wish you were a Youper. I just know it. It's inside you. You wish you lived up here, Mike. I know it. I know it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've always thought the people here over the years have been great people, great friendly people, whatever, and a hearty bunch, to say the least here. And I thought it was very, and you had to feel the same way last time with being your first home game, the atmosphere, which is so dynamic here at Michigan Tech with the band, with the cast of students that go crazy and the supporting crowd. It's one of the best atmospheres, I think, in the league and in college hockey. How unusual that was that last night to really hear how quiet it was in there.
It really was. And you're right. For teams that really have that home crowd advantage, like you guys down there at the Civic Center and us up here at the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena, it certainly does alter things as far as how much of an advantage you have at home.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, I almost thought you guys would have had some of that stuff, maybe the band where they get after it coming off the face-off, making noise and hitting the sticks and everything. And you might have had some of that you would have thrown out there. Up at Bemidji a couple weeks ago, they tried kind of inserting crowd noise during the period itself. And I think I told you last night, it had that weird feel. It was like watching an NFL game in Europe or in London where the crowds there cheer at stuff that they don't cheer for here in the U.S., so it seemed odd. It was weird. Last night, though, you guys didn't do any of that. You had some noise around just moments, but overall, I think I preferred maybe the quiet over to the weird sound effects that come in from a fake crowd.
Yeah, well, it was different, and I think it's the situation we're just going to have to get used to for at least a little while longer, and we'll see how that goes. And of course, in a month, we'll be back down in your building, playing down in Mankato, and we'll be looking forward to that trip as well. But it was nice to see you up there, even though it was behind glass, Sully. They did a good job up in the press box there, keeping everybody separated. But it was a interesting game last night because I thought it was very evenly played up until that halfway point. And as we were saying earlier on the show here, that you know, the Mavericks really showed what they're all about in the second half of the game, with the exception of scoring goals.
Yeah, and you look, there isn't a lot of body of work for these teams so far. It was only the second game for MSU last night. There aren't a lot of common threads between the win at Bemidji and here, other than the fact that the Mavericks got up to slow starts in both those games. Up in Bemidji, they kind of took control and dominated the second and third periods. Mavericks here didn't get in. The one thing they've not done yet is score a power play goal. Their special teams haven't kind of kicked in yet, and that's not to be shocked because, you know, last year they had, in terms of a power play and penalty kill among the nation, really up near the top of the heap. But most of those guys are gone, so certainly to reach those kind of caliber, you kind of have to build it up, and it was just the second game. But life becomes easier, as you know, Dirk, and you guys won the battle of special teams and a couple of power play goals last night. I think one of the big points of the game was the carryover major from the end of the first into the second. MSU got nothing out of it. And even though they bombed the net a lot of the night, you guys stood the test of that. And you won the battle of special teams in last night's game. That was certainly pivotal.
It certainly was, and always nice if you're not a Minnesota State Maverick to see a goaltender like Dryden McKay have to be pulled at the end of the game. It doesn't happen very often, and to have him out of the net, that you must be doing something right. And boy, to see Blake Pietila have that performance, what a boost for that young man, and to kind of bail the team out and get the victory against such a good Minnesota State team. You know, that'll certainly do a lot for his confidence. But I'm interested to hear from you, Sully, what you think the difference tonight will be in Minnesota State. Do you expect maybe a little bit faster start by the Mavericks?
Yeah, and it was interesting in talking to both coaches going into the game. I know Coach Sean felt that his team didn't maybe put their best stuff in the ice up at up in Sault Ste. Marie. Goes in some ways, we took a bit of a step backwards in where we wanted to be, and he was going to have the guys ready to go last night. And there's no doubt they were. Coach Hastings was talking about that there was a bit of self-satisfaction with the win at Bemidji, and that was something he goes, it's human nature. You get a little self-satisfied, then you kind of take a step back a little bit. I'm sure that they will come out fired up and ready to go. So I think you'll see both teams very aggressive at the start of the game, and I know that MSU is looking to get off to a much faster start than they have. So I would say the first 5 to 8, 9 minutes between these teams in the first period are going to be very interesting to watch tonight.
How much has the inconsistent schedule, do you think, affected these teams, not only in the WCHA but throughout the country of college hockey?
Well, there's no way it hasn't. And normally this time of the year, you could be talking about a pretty good feel of what your team is like from A to Z, offense, defense, special teams, goaltending, up and down the line. Most coaches have no idea at this point, particularly if they've got a lot of newer guys that are trying to run into the roster, what's really going on with their team. You look at some of the teams, the NCHC teams playing down at the bubble in Omaha, they seem to be getting their games in. A team in Minnesota, the Gophers, they played 6 games already.
Right.
That was only the second game for the Mavericks last night. So there's no doubt that it's having a profound effect on hockey. You don't know how many games you're going to get to play, and you wonder what the one thing you better do when you play games, you better win most of them, because how we're going to stack up for the postseason is going to be interesting to see.
Sully, we only got to have a couple of minutes here, but I wanted to ask you, that end of last season, I don't think there's a team that I felt worse for than Minnesota State, being how they played all year, how they've been playing really the last 3 years and even before that, but certainly, one of the teams to possibly win it all and to have it all get shut down like that before the Michigan Tech Minnesota State series. What were your thoughts when that all happened?
Well, it was kind of a crushing blow because it had been there had been a lot of guys that could have left and stayed last year because they felt that this team had the potential to win a national title. They certainly wanted to shatter that glass ceiling of not picking up an NCAA win. I think everybody was ready to go and just all on page to go out here. The fan base was crazy. It was actually being talked about out loud for the first time back in Mankato, a possible national championship game. And then the plug got pulled, and it was certainly devastating news to the players, because I think that happened about mid-afternoon. We found out that was going to be the end of that. And I know the guys came and asked the coach if they could go back out and play like a little inter-squad game to end it all, and they did. They went out there, and that's how they wrapped it up. But, yeah, it was you feel really bad for all the players, particularly the upperclassmen all around the country. But for MSU, yeah, I think a lot of people felt, with 31 wins, it was a special season going on. And it's one thing to lose, and it comes to an end that way, but just not to even get the chance, boy, that was hard to swallow.
Yeah, I think a lot of people felt bad for any of the elite teams out there, but certainly for WCHA fans and member teams felt for teams like you that really had a legitimate shot at winning it all. And I'm sure that you're going to have another legitimate shot at it again. Hopefully not tonight, though. The Huskies and the Mavericks will play at 5:07. We'll be on the air at 4:30. And Sully, we appreciate it, man. You're one of my favorites. You're always kind and willing to help us out. And we appreciate it today. And we wish you the best of luck after today, okay?
I got it. And, of course, we'll see you back in Cato later in the year, and those will be conference games. Always, what a great rivalry it is, and let's hope that they'll continue for many years to come.
Thanks, Sully. That's the Joe Schaan Hour, and we'll see you at the games tonight. And for you, the listeners, we'll be broadcasting at 4:30 with our pregame, 5:07 drop of the puck from the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena, the Huskies and the Mavericks in college hockey.